Hallelujah. I just wanted to start tonight by again saying I am so happy to be here with my family, my wife, and our children. We started out as a family over 22 years ago, and my children were here at camp with us, I think, every year. But now they're serving, and that's just a blessing to see. My son, he didn't always like to stay on the other end of camp as a camper. His mom and dad were on this end of camp. And so he would last maybe one day, one night. Then he would get a tummy ache, and Brother George would bring him down to me.
Thank you, Brother George.
But now to see him down in the village as a counselor blesses my heart. And to see my girls serving is, it pays to serve Jesus. The other thing I wanted to say was I feel, as I came into the meeting tonight and as we've been worshiping, I feel like I'm stepping into a river that's flowing. What I mean by that is God is at work in this place and has been all season, right? And so we come and we're just stepping into what God's doing. And we're enjoying His presence and enjoying His working. And so I feel that way tonight. I'm just stepping into something that God is already doing, has been doing, and will continue to do. And let's take advantage of that. That river is flowing, beloved. It's flowing. Hallelujah. I picked up a book from my many books. It's entitled "Experiencing God Through Prayer," and it's by Madame Guyon. It's a rather a heavily abridged edition of a book or a book originally entitled "The Short and Easy Method of Prayer." She wrote a book, and that was the title: "The Short and Easy Method of Prayer." And one of our ministers years ago said, "It's neither short and it's not easy." So this is a book that I can understand. It's, as I said, it's somewhat edited, but I think the central truths are here. I've read both, and I picked this up again and was able to read it rather, you know, a chapter a day, and got through it rather quickly. But I came across something that spoke to me. And it says this, she writes this. I just want to say, Madame Guyon, she was a 1700s, so that would be what, the 18th century, French Catholic woman. And she was persecuted by her church for her desire to really have fellowship and communion with God. Imprisoned for a time. But anyway, so from that, that's, if you want to know more about her, you can look her up. But she says this: "Let me say something now to those in the clergy." So right away I have to stop, and you know, I think that means me a little sometimes. "I know many of you tell your parishioners what waits for them at the end of their earthly lives. However, you often do not give clear or sufficient instruction as how to attain it. Make the steps to salvation understood by even the least educated in your congregation or the youngest, and their attention should be on Jesus Christ alone." So that's good instruction, right? We need to teach our children, our young people, we need to preach in our churches that there is salvation in one way to get to heaven. Jesus is the only way. One way to reach those pearly mansions. Jesus is the only way. Do you remember that Sunday school song? Do you still sing that? No other way. no other way, no other way to go. One way, God says, to get to heaven. Jesus is the only way. Mike Gladwin used to say that the Sunday school songs have it the best. They have the best doctrine. If you would just learn your Sunday school songs, you would know everything that you need to know. It's true. Right? Jesus loves even me. You need anything more than that? I am so glad that my Father in heaven tells of his love in the book he's given. Right? And we could just go down the list of those Sunday school songs. The B-I-B-L-E. That's the book for me. I stand alone on the word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. Right. So I think that, you know, I trust that we teach that in our churches. I trust that we teach at the camp. I believe we do. I believe that we challenge each boy and girl that comes to camp. Do you know that Jesus is your Savior? And our counselors are instructed to do that. And to deal with each child individually about their need of a Savior. And so that's important, right? We need to know how to get to heaven. You know how to get there? Jesus is the only way. But then she goes on to say this. Then, so subsequent to that, then teach your people by an act of profound adoration before God how to find him in prayer. So for her, there were two things that were very important for us. The way of salvation through Christ alone. And then that there is a possibility for you and I to truly know God through prayer. Do you know God? How is it that you've come to know him? You see, it speaks more of a intimate knowledge, a relationship with God, rather than a knowledge of God. And sometimes I think that many of the religions that we have, it's about the knowledge of some eternal being or a knowledge of something beyond us, but there is not a personal knowledge, an intimate relationship with God. Let me just finish out her paragraph. Tell them how to get quiet inwardly. Anybody quiet inwardly tonight? See, some of you are entering into rest. And that's good. You ought to enjoy rest here at camp. So don't. It's okay if you fall asleep. I'm okay with that. You might have a vision while you sleep, right? All right. How to keep their minds from wandering, right? So I think that's so important because I find, and maybe you find it the same, that often when we endeavor to get quiet before God, or we endeavor to spend time in his presence, we think of 100 other things that we need to do, right? And even, you know, maybe even good things. And so it takes a discipline for us to not just spend time, what we think is in prayer with God, while really our minds are everywhere else. So, Lord, help us to get quiet inwardly and to keep our minds from wandering. And then there's a third thing that she says, and how to build up our faith in God by meditating on his word. You see, this thought of prayer this year, I think we have to remember that prayer goes hand in hand with the Word of God. The Word of God. And I think if we know our Bibles and we've opened our Bibles and we've read our Bibles and we've found promises in our Bibles and we've found commandments in our Bibles and we've read the prayers of the Bible and we know the stories of the Bible, it will help us to what? To pray. We ought to pray the promises of God. We ought to claim in prayer, by faith, what God has said in his word. If God said it, he can do it. Amen. His word does not return void. There's a power here. And so we lay hold of that God through faith and prayer. The God who can do anything. The God who is the same as we heard yesterday, today, and forever. The reading for today in the staff devotional, I know that you've read it already, and I just want to read it together with you. It's just a few verses. It's a very familiar passage of Scripture. It's in Luke's Gospel. And it's in the chapter 11, a chapter that at least at the beginning, the first few verses, speaks about prayer. There's teaching on prayer. That's where we find the Lord's Prayer. One of the places. We also find it in Matthew. But here in Luke, there are verses that we had today in our reading, the beginning at the 9th verse. It says this, and these are the words of Jesus, in response to the disciples asking him, Lord, teach us to pray. He gives them the Lord's Prayer, but then he goes on and he gives them a parable about being persistent, about opportunity, about intercession and prayer. And then he comes with this at verse 9. He says, so I say to you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. And there's much teaching in the Bible, in the New Testament, regarding prayer. Here is Jesus teaching his disciples to pray. And one of the thoughts is that we need to ask. Ye have not because ye what?
Ask
ye ask not. And sometimes when you ask with the wrong motives. You ask amiss, right? But we need to ask. And then we need to, what does it say? Seek. I don't, have, I'm sure there are different ways to look at this. But to me, it speaks somewhat of increased desire, I think. Maybe if you take knocking as pounding on the door, and saying this has to open. But we ask, and then sometimes we have to go beyond that. We have to seek for something. Now, you only seek for something that you place value on. We don't seek for things that we, if I lose, nowadays you drop a penny, do you look for that penny? I mean, probably some of you do, because we're German, right? We have to find that penny. But if it's not of value, I'm not going to put a lot of time in seeking for it, unless I value it. And the same thing with prayer. Do we really come to God in prayer with desire? You see, prayer is not just words. It's not just saying nice things before God. It's not just, saying a lot of things. And Jesus taught about that. It's not through vain repetition. It's not because you say it over and over again that you're going to get an answer. And sometimes I think it's not so much important the words we actually say, but what's the desire of my heart? Because what does God see? God sees my heart. And prayer really has to be a heart cry to God. And so this asking and seeking and knocking, it speaks about desire. Do you really want it? Do you want this? I mean, he had taught about, and then later on in the 18th chapter, he talks about importunity, right? Where, not because the widow, I want to really help her. This is the unjust, right, judge? But because she continually comes. And then how much more? How much more, your Heavenly Father, hear your prayer? And so, God, give me those desires, holy desires. Praying for our loved one, is that a holy desire? Oh God, God, give us the faith to believe that you hear and you answer. Don't let us give up. Don't let us faint. For everyone who asks receives. You see, we don't ask in vain. We don't seek God in vain. No one who has truly sought God seeks in vain, because He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. You will seek Me and find Me when you search for Me with all your heart. But the other thing about asking and seeking and knocking, it's not just about asking God for things. Lord, I want You to do this for me. Or even, I want You to do this for someone else. But there's a relationship. Again, there's a getting to know God, experiencing God through prayer. Experiencing God through prayer. And so we ask, not only for things, but we ask, Lord, I want to know You better. God, I want to love You more. I really want to know You. Reveal Yourself to me. And we persist in that. God, fill me with Your love. Change my heart. And so we express these desires, this holy desire. We ask, we seek, we knock. Everyone that asks receives, he that seeks finds, and to him who knocks the door will be opened. He finishes, or goes on to say this, which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead, or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? It interests me that after the disciples say, Lord, teach us to pray. It's not only the Lord's Prayer that He gives them, but He gives them, as I said, these different aspects of prayer. And He ends with this. Here is the basis for prayer. It's the basis of a father and son. You have a heavenly father, a father and a daughter, right? You're a child of God. He's your heavenly father. And if you, as an earthly father, know how to bless your children with good things, how much more will your heavenly father give the Holy Spirit to them who ask Him? It seems to me that that's an important aspect of prayer, that we ask for the Holy Spirit. I don't want to digress or change gears here too much, but at supper table, I was eavesdropping on a conversation. Now, if you talk it in the dining room, it's not private, okay? So if you need to do a private conversation, you need to go somewhere else, all right? And I overheard that there was this discussion about the Holy Spirit, and when do we receive the Holy Spirit, and so on. And I'm not going to address that tonight, but I'm going to say this. That it would seem to me that the gift of the Holy Spirit, as Jesus is presenting it here, is different than our salvation experience. He doesn't say here that if you know how to give good gifts to your children, that your Heavenly Father is going to give salvation to those who ask Him. He seems to indicate that this gift of the Holy Spirit is something that the Father desires to bestow upon those who what? Who ask for it. It's not something that just happens. You understand? Jesus makes it clear that we are to ask for who? For the Holy Spirit. We're to ask for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now in Matthew's Gospel, Matthew renders it this way, that Jesus says, how much will your Heavenly Father give good gifts to them that ask Him? And so here is the good gift that God desires to bestow upon you. The best gift is the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, why do I say that? Do I believe that the Holy Spirit is necessary for you to be saved? Yes, I do. You can't be a child of God apart from the working of the Holy Spirit. You are born again by the Spirit of God. But I believe that the teaching that we find throughout the Bible is that there is an endowment, a gift of the Holy Spirit that we need to ask for as believers. Jesus told his disciples, now you need to go and tarry in Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. Were those disciples saved at that time? I believe they were. But they needed the Holy Spirit. I think one of the aspects of the gift of the Holy Spirit is that the Holy Spirit is the one that makes Jesus real to you and to me, so that we walk with him and that he talks with us and that we're led by the Spirit of God and that we have communion with God through the Spirit. And so, yes, I think it's right for each one of us to ask the Father for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, if you haven't heard that in your church, that's okay. I mean, you don't have to take my word for it. But here, take it from God's word and ask. I challenge you while you're here at camp. Say, Lord, I want to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You say, well, the Lord has given me the gift of the Holy Spirit. Well, thank God for that. We ought to experience that, yes. But do you think he wants to come to you again and fill you again with the Holy Spirit? I didn't hear an amen. Do we need it? Do we need it?
Yes, we need it.
We need it. We need it, beloved. We need it. Oh, Jesus, I want you to be real to me. I need you to be more real to me. I want you to take control. We sang it. Oh, Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to you. If we give ourselves that way, he wants to give himself to you in all his fullness. And he gives us the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's to those who what? Who ask. It's to those who what? Who seek. It's to those who knock. He gives the Holy Spirit. Why? Because he's our Heavenly Father and he knows what we need. He knows exactly what you and I need. And so he's made full provision for us. All that pertains to life and godliness, he has provided. And it's theirs for the taking as we ask and we seek and we knock. So, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you that you desire for us to know you, that we can experience you, that you are not a God who is far off, but you are a God who desires to be known. Lord, you want to reveal yourself to each one. And so that I believe that each one here has come through that gate of salvation. They've come through the cross. They've knelt and confessed their sins. And Lord, now I pray that the doorway would be open for each one to come into a fuller knowledge of God, a fuller knowledge of Christ, that Jesus, you would reveal yourself by the Holy Spirit. And so, Lord, we ask tonight, Lord, give us the gift of the Holy Spirit. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Lord, we want to experience you in all your fullness. And so put real desire, put that holy desire within our hearts. Oh, Jesus, that we might know you. And Lord, help us to seek you as we ought. And to knock, oh God, God, until you open the door, until we receive the answer. And so, Lord, put those desires in our hearts this night. A hunger and thirst for Jesus, a hunger and thirst for righteousness, to truly know you. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus, Jesus, we've given ourselves to you, Lord, again tonight. And now we ask, Lord, come and put your seal upon our hearts. Seal us with that Holy Spirit of promise. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, God, come. Come in. Come. Come, Holy Ghost. Come, my God. Oh, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, Jesus. Living in Thee, Lord, and Thou in me. Constant abiding, this is my plea. Grant me Thy power, boundless and free. Power with man and power with Thee. That's 398. It's also on the back of your staff devotional. 398. We should stand as we sing.
Teach me to pray.
What do you think the power is that the hymn writer is speaking of? What do you think that is? It's the Holy Spirit, right? I mean, it's not written that way for us, but I believe that's the way we understand this, all right? There's a power. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. That's how I can live in Him and He can live in me. That's how there can be a constant abiding. Beloved, Lord, give us the gift. Father, give us the gift of the Holy Spirit. Tonight, again, afresh. Hallelujah. Next verse.
My weak and will, Lord, my plea. Grant me thy power, boundless and free. Power with man and power with thee.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Brother Richard, pray with us, please. Closing.
Dear Lord, we thank you for how you've come and met us this evening. And Lord, we just ask that you would just continue to teach us. Lord, teach us how to pray. Lord, not in our own way, but Lord, how you would have us to pray through your Spirit.
Yes.
Not our will, but your will, Lord. We ask that you would help us throughout this night and throughout this week to learn more and more how to pray with through your Holy Spirit. We ask, Lord, now that you be with us as we go.
Amen. Amen. The Lord bless you. Let's go to prayer. If you need to go back, go quietly to your rooms. Hallelujah.
Constant above.